Good evening and welcome to the 7 p.m. news with me, Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our headlines, Parliament opened its doors tomorrow for its last ordinary sessions of the year at both the Senate and National Assembly. The November session is often dedicated to the examination of the state budget. Cameroon joins in observing the World Orphans Day today. Amidst call for all to take care of parentless children, our in-depth segment of the news examines the management and plight of orphans. In the meantime, the first preparatory meeting ahead of the upcoming Indomitable Lions Day 5 and 6 AFCON qualifier has taken place in Yaoundé today, with an appeal for maximum collaboration between the Cameroon Football Federation and all the stakeholders. Those were our lead stories. Stay tuned for a full development. The regional director of the United Nations Population Fund for West and Central Africa, Dr. Senen Houghton, has acknowledged the support provided by the government of Cameroon during the commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the International Conference of Population and Development. He conveyed the gratitude of the UNFPA during an audience granted to him by Prime Minister and Head of Government Joseph Dangote in Yaoundé. Both men also discussed ways of boosting cooperation in order to make the UNFPA more efficient in Cameroon, as you tell us, Star Building correspondent Christian Che Atom.
2024 has been an important year for the United Nations Population Fund, the UNFPA. The organization commemorated the 30th anniversary of the Cairo International Conference on Population and Development, which produced the working documents of the organization, and Cameroon played an active role in the events. That is why the UNFPA Regional Director for West and Central Africa, Senen Houghton, was full of thanks for the government of Cameroon during his visit to the Star Building.
Cameroon has been beside us throughout the technical meeting, the ministerial consultation, the global conference on population and development in New York, but also throughout the summit of the future with His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly, Ambassador Philemon Yang, who has helped us position the key issue that we work on, but also which are also important of the government of Cameroon, which are the investment in youth, the investment in women and girls.
Joseph Dangote and the UNFPA official also examined ways of enhancing the action of the organization in Cameroon. Senen Houghton, UNFPA Regional Director for West and Central Africa.
I came also to listen, as a regional director, to listen to the government, to the different partners, the donor community, our beneficiary, so that we can know how best to serve Cameroon through our country program. I also made some advocacy, contribution of Cameroon to the core funding of the organization and to the UN at large, but also on the census, which, as you know, is a critical, important exercise to plan development.
Prime Minister Joseph Dangote reassured the UNFPA official that the protection of the rights of women and youths remains a major preoccupation to the government of Cameroon. Christian Che Atom, CRTV, The Star Building.
All is set for the opening ceremonies of the November session, both at the Senate and the National Assembly. This reassurance comes from the Secretaries General of both Houses of Parliament, who visited the Yaoundé Conference Center today to ascertain that all is in place for each three plenaries. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Doris Battle-Tatoikwe reports.
The House Chamber of the National Assembly, its committee rooms, VIP lounges, and other workspaces have been inspected by the Secretary General, André Noël Essien, who was visibly satisfied. He was accompanied by his close aides. Deputy Secretary General Number 2, Godwill Okia Mukete, is one of them.
We are ready. We have done the traditional rounds. And from the House Chamber, everything is set. The names of the MPs are already placed there in their habitual positions.
At the Senate, all is in place for the opening plenary to begin this Tuesday when it clocks 4 p.m. Deputy Secretary General Florence Awasom appraises the level of preparedness.
I can say without fear or without any ambiguity that we are ready. The halls are already ready. Everything has been put in place. The translation unit is ready.
The bulk of legislators are already in Yaounde with bags full of expectations.
I want the budget of this country to reflect a lot on road infrastructure. I will say about 75% should go for road construction in this country. Cameroonians are suffering a lot because of road. Development is not growing faster because of roads. So if we have the roads, every other thing can follow.
I'm expecting that government's action will primarily target the mitigation of the adverse effects of the crisis in my region, in the Northwest and the Southwest region, on the national economy.
We're expecting so much. Principally, I am expecting that the financial bill gives to us elements to achieve what people are waiting for. The improvement of the social standards.
For the next 30 days, it will be serious business for the country's lawmakers.
Significant development projects are on the way in Marwa Far North region as part of the C2D Urban Regional Capital Program, funded through a partnership between Cameroon and France. The Minister of Housing and Urban Development, Celestine Kechakotes, and the French Ambassador to Cameroon, Thierry Marchand, are conducting site visits to review the projects aimed at transforming Marwa's urban landscape. Faith Nguang is our eyes and ears behind the minister and the ambassador. Hello, Faith. What is the update?
Hello, Elizabeth. Good evening and welcome to Marwa in the Far North region. The first stage of the working visit of Minister Kechakotes and French Ambassador to Cameroon, Thierry Marchand, highlights key locations including Carrefour Para, the multi-purpose city hall in Marwa 1, the Dugoy Market in Marwa 3, and various projects supported by the program. While the minister's assessment isn't clear yet, discussions with contractors suggest mixed feelings. With a 29 billion CFA France investment, the C2D urban project focuses on boosting urban mobility, expanding essential services, and fostering local economic growth. One of the major undertakings is the construction of 13 kilometers of new roads across Marwa's three municipalities to better connect neighborhoods and ease traffic. All these efforts emphasize the importance of international cooperation as Marwa advances towards sustainable urban development, creating lasting benefits for its communities today and, of course, for future generations. Elizabeth, right away, Minister Kechakotes is presiding over an in-camera meeting to discuss what she has seen so far. And of course, we expect some recommendations that we will be bringing up to you in our subsequent news editions. For now, I am Faith Nguang, signing out for CRTV Marwa in the Far North region.
Away from Marwa and on to our in-depth segment of the news, the plight of orphans nationwide is on the spotlight today as Cameroon joins the globe to observe the World Orphans Day. The fatherless children, who are mostly taken care of by non-governmental organizations through donations and family relatives and friends, are neglected in recent time. Let us now visit the Marie-Francoise Orphanage in Betwa that takes care of close to 30 orphans. Celestine Sumbele has the details.
Thanks to gifts and favors of various kinds, the director of the Marie-Francois Foundation Orphanage in Betwa, who has about 26 orphans and unaccompanied youth enrolled, can manage to feed as well as care for the basic needs of the children under his care. Roselyne Mamp, director of the foundation.
Here we don't refuse donations. They come with foodstuffs such as rice, fish, vegetable oil and basic needs like soap, and others come with clothing, even money, to help us send all these children to school.
Even though some of these orphans are engaged in income-generating activities, the majority are pupils and students.
There are some who go to school. The elder ones who didn't excel in school, we enroll them in training centers such as mechanics and carpentry. We do farming. Last year, we produced 2 hectares of maize. We used it to feed the children. We sold the rest and used the money to enroll the children in school.
The orphanage still faces a lot of difficulties despite the immense obligation to raise these children.
There
is an ongoing construction of a new site, but due to lack of means, it has stopped.
Education and the moral development of orphans continue to be the top priorities at the Marie-Francois Foundation Orphanage in Bedwa. Celestine Sumbele, CRTV, Bedwa.
The director of the St. Rita Cassia Orphanage Yaoundé has appealed to the government to provide assistance to social structures that take care of underprivileged children in the country. Sister Barbine, the founder and director of the orphanage, used today's World Orphanage Day to make the call. Ghislaine Kwa visited the 11-year-old structure and now reports.
The St. Rita Orphanage in Mendong, Yaoundé is home to some 50 children, among whom orphans, victims of domestic violence and abandoned kids whose ages range from 3 to 24 years.
My name is Hachimke Lomboku Marie. I've been here for 5 years. I'm coming from Kolokosi. I'm happy to be here because they take good care of me. I'm going to school. I eat well.
Handling their daily needs, according to Sister Balbin, the founder and director, has not always been an easy task.
Our major challenge is housing, as the number of children have increased and we are renting the house. We also have problems of feeding, health care, sending the kids to school and providing them didactic materials.
Over the years, it's thanks to the assistance of goodwill persons that the structure has been able to cater for the basic needs of the children.
We benefit from the support of goodwill persons, associations and NGOs. We do agriculture and have plantains and cocoa farms in villages out of Yaoundé.
The director, Sister Balbin, calls on the government to support such initiatives that provide social services to the homeless and underprivileged kids in order to ensure them a brighter future. Ghislaine Kwa, CRTV Center.
It is possible for an orphan to be adopted. Child adoption in Cameroon is subject to certain requirements contained in the country's civil law, such as being at least 40 years of age and financially capable to cater for a child. Vanessa Woodang-Sinamo tells us more.
A child is considered adopted when he or she becomes a full and permanent member of another family while staying genetically and psychologically connected to their family, as per experts. Being of good morals, financially buoyant, and medically fit are among other conditions to fulfill for child adoption in Cameroon, as outlined by Barrister Edwin Tatebe.
In the civil law jurisdiction, it's even more complicated because according to their laws, if you are not up to 40 years and you don't have any medical record to prove that you cannot have a child, you cannot do simple adoption. So you only have to do what they call adoption plenaire, which is through Ministry of Social Affairs.
The cost and duration solely depend on the legal practitioner engaged to facilitate the adoption procedure.
There are some lawyers who will take 300,000, others can take 500,000. Others can take 1 million, others can take even 5 million. And in the civil law jurisdiction, it can take like 1 year and above, sometimes 2 years. Yeah, but in the common law jurisdiction, it can take 6 months, 7 months.
Many consider these conditions as tough and worrisome. Lawmakers and other stakeholders uphold that the adoption of a child is a major transition in the legal status of that child and should be handled in the most diligent manner in order not to fall prey to child trafficking and suffering.
Vanessa Woodnang-Sinamo. Nowadays, the focus is shifting from helping those in need to showcasing one's own image far beyond the act of compassion. In the following write-up, senior reporter Rita Yosembong explores how acts of generosity can sometimes be overshadowed by a desire for social media recognition.
We see these things every day. A person pulls up to an orphanage in a luxury car, steps out in designer clothes and begins handing out toys and food to eager children, but only after ensuring their photographer is ready. They pose, smile, make a dramatic gesture of generosity, and of course post the photos online with captions about giving back and making a difference. This isn't charity born from compassion, but rather a carefully orchestrated performance for social media. The very idea of charity has been somewhat twisted. Now it's not about helping others, but about being seen helping others. But I think true charity, the kind that lifts people up without expecting anything in return, is being overshadowed by the new age generosity, where helping others has become a trend to boost one's image. I'm not saying that all who donate are doing it for show. There are countless people who give with sincerity, without a need for a camera. These are the people who bring food, pay school fees, support medical bills, or volunteer their time simply because they want to help. They equally understand that true compassion is quiet and its impact is felt deeply by those it touches, not just seen on a screen. If our actions are truly about making a difference, then let's make sure the focus remains on those we are helping and not on our own image. Because at the end of the day, true charity is about dignity and respect, not a parade of pride.
Our guest on the 7 p.m. news is Ngwa Samuel Neba, Secretary of Grace House Orphanage, who shares with us the pressing issues they face, from limited resources to the challenge of ensuring each child feels valued and supported. In an interview with senior reporter Rita Yosembong, he begins by explaining the real needs of these children and what it truly means to help.
The first major problem is to be consistent in their feeding habits. We need to vary their food. We need to give them balanced diet so that they should look good. And the second problem, that these children, there are times four or five of them, they fall sick. Just that fact that they fall sick is very traumatizing, and we have to start rushing to look for medication. But notwithstanding, we do our best to maintain the hygienic conditions so that all of them should always look strong all the time.
So tell me, how do you make sure the children are happy and feel supported even when there's not enough money or supplies?
It's not only the money or supply that will make the children happy. These children will make them feel that they are in a family and not even in an orphanage. So we take total care of these children to supply their needs. So with these children, as we say, we have the conviction that they are living in the family. We make sure that their feeding is up to date. So to play the role of parents to them, not even suppliers. We are treating them like our own biological children.
Mr. Ngwa, what would you say to people who want to help orphanages but seem more interested in showing off their donation rather than truly supporting the children?
Just coming to pray with them, play with them, chat with them is okay. So any person who is coming to show off their donation is not a divine support to these children. We are working in a God's vineyard. So any person who is coming to show off and all that, they are innocent children and they will not even identify any show off or anything. Their hands are open. They are open to all of everybody in the public. So before you start even thinking of coming to come here to give them something, it's an interest. So there's no social affair in this entire thing. It's a voluntary gift.
Mr. Ngwa Samuel Neba, you're the secretary of the Grace House Orphanage in Upstation Bamenda. Thanks for being a guest on the 7 p.m. news.
Thank you very much.
away from our in-depth segment of the news and onto other news-making stories, the third edition of the Douala Economic Forum has gone underway with reflections and training sessions on local policies and the promotion of import substitution. Cynthia Etim reports on the ambience that reigned on the site on day one of the Economic Forum in Douala.
The courtyard of the Sawa Cultural House has been transformed into a vast commercial space, with exhibitors amongst whom local producers gradually occupying the various stands. The first day of the Douala Economic Forum in its third edition dwelled on training sessions around local policy and the promotion of import substitution. Angel Bear Olomoateke is a facilitator from the Ministry of the Economy.
We have noticed that the state can count on decentralized local authorities to fully implement its import substitution policy because the 2019 law permits local authorities to create enterprises.
The official opening, slated for Wednesday, November 13, will be presided over by the governor of the littoral region, Samuel Dodoneva Dubois. Olivier Kinge Moli is the general coordinator of the Douala Economic Forum.
We will talk about the future of real estate in Douala and investment in the transport sector. We hope that through these presentations, which are expected to place local actors and economic operators on the spotlight, we will provide solutions to accompany the city.
The Economic Forum, to run for 5 days, is unfolding on the theme Transport Logistics and the Real Estate Industry as Elements of Attractiveness of the City of Douala. Cynthia Etim, CLTV News, Douala.
In the meantime, vendors added to the market have expressed gratitude to the Yaoundé City Mayor for the ongoing rehabilitation works on the Etoudi Mangue stretch of road to facilitate movements. This was during an inspection of the second lap of the road carried out by Luc Messier Tangana and his team to some project sites at the Mombo Etoudi neighborhood in Yaoundé. Lekiate Jetrida Songazi completes that story.
Construction works along the Terminus Mimoman and Mombo Dozem axis passing through Karifu Bilibi have been completed, while the Mombo Dozem through Esomba Road axis is almost done. The engineers told Luc Messier Tangana that 80% of the works have been realized and the work will be finished in December 2024. It was an impressive crowd that turned out to welcome the city mayor and his team at their next stop, which was added to the Mangue stretch of road in the Yaoundé 1 subdivision, which is ready for use. Amadou Mama is a butcher at the Etoudi Market.
We, the vendors at the Etoudi Market, are very happy. As a butcher who has been here for over 25 years, I am very happy. It was impossible to walk here because of the mud. We used to come here and go back as if we were coming from the butchers.
During an evaluation meeting with stakeholders at the Yaoundé City Council Hall, the city mayor explained some of the difficulties currently being faced, which sometimes perturb the realization of projects. It should be noted that these ongoing road projects are solely financed by the Yaoundé City Council. Lekiate Getroda Songazi, CRTV News Center.
Involving education stakeholders to promote positive change amongst youth of the North region is one of the resolutions taken at the end of two separate conferences organized by the Lamido of Garoua. Maimouna Njuya tells us more.
Education from the perspective of the conference initiated by the Lamido of Garoua is a global concept which has to integrate classroom lessons and codes of conduct within family settings and social spheres. Every member of the educative family is expected to play a specific part to obtain desired results. Estelle is a parent in Garoua.
It's really good as a parent to be able to express what you live every day with your kids, hear what others live, and also know the point of view of their teachers.
Acting this way seems to be quite advantageous and efficient.
It helps to have a good communication between the parents and the teachers, because some of us parents, we don't actually know our children well, and we don't also master pedagogy. So we will have children who actually come and tell us things in their house, and since we love them so much, we just overreact. Meanwhile, there are different ways of managing this type of stuff.
And because education is a powerful weapon which can be used to change the world, as declared by Nelson Mandela, there is every reason to act and effect the needed positive change. From the North Regional Station in Garua, Maimuna Joya for CRTV News.
Out of the country, the Prime Minister of Mauritius has accepted that his coalition, L'Alliance Le Peuple, has suffered a huge defeat following Sunday's parliamentary election. The population has decided to choose another team, Prime Minister Pravin Jugnauth, 62, told Journeys on Monday. Jugnauth was seeking a second five-year term, but his main rival, Navin Ramgoolam, 77, leader of the Alliance of Change Coalition, looks set to become the next leader of the Indian Ocean archipelago. Mauritius is known as one of Africa's most stable democracies, but this election was tainted by a phone-tapping scandal with leaked recordings of public figures posted online. And on to sports, as you heard in one of our lead stories, the Minister of Sports and Physical Education has called for maximum collaboration between the Cameroon Football Federation and all stakeholders involved in the organization of the upcoming Indomitable Lions Day 5 and 6 AFCON qualifiers against Namibia and Zimbabwe. Minister Narcisse Moelekombe made the appeal this afternoon at the end of the first preparatory meeting in build-up to the two encounters. In the meantime, on to this press release just coming in, the Minister of Finance, considering the significant interest involved in recent days regarding the filing of tax returns, hereby informs non-professional taxpayers subject to the annual personal income tax declaration that the deadline for submission has been extended to December 1, 2024. Additionally, the Minister of Finance commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. The Minister of Finance further emphasizes that non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures. To further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements, dedicated support teams have been deployed at their respective tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism, including a toll-free call center, 8200, an electronic assistance platform, help desk, accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website, www.support.harmony2.cm, a messaging service, +237 691 881 881, specifically for taxpayers residing abroad. The Minister of Finance counts on the compliance of all. And with that, we call it quits in this edition of the 7 p.m. news, in which you heard that Parliament opens its doors tomorrow for its last ordinary sessions of the year at both the Senate and National Assembly. The November session is often dedicated to the examination and adoption of the state budgets. Cameroon joins in observing the World Orphans Day today amidst call for all to take care of parentless children are in that segment of the news examined the matter. The first preparatory meeting ahead of the upcoming Indomitable Lions Day 5 and 6 AFCON qualifier has taken place in Yaoundé today, with an appeal for maximum collaboration between the Cameroon Football Federation and all the stakeholders. The 7 p.m. news is a presentation of Elizabeth Mbombone Akbor.